buying behavior has changed. Prospects don't click on links in emails anymore, and they don't watch the videos you spend hours creating every week. Instead, send personalized gifts and memes using VidYou. You can quickly create engaging, personalized content that immediately grabs your prospect's attention, helps you stand out in the inbox, and does it all without forcing them to click anything or go anywhere. Head over to vidyou.io/salescast to sign up for free and spend less time getting your messages across and more time selling.
In the world of sales, you either sink, swim, or break through to the next level. My name's Colin Mitchell, and this is Sales Transformation, a new kind of sales show designed to bring you through the epic, life-changing moments of elite sellers so you can experience your own sales transformation. All right, welcome to another episode of Sales Transformation. I'm very excited for today's guest. I've got Kelsey Calabro. She is a CSM over at Dooley. She also is the owner of a Heretic, the agency that she spends most of her days helping customers sustain success. Kelsey, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. I know I had to reschedule on you because I had a crazy day. So I'm glad that we were able to get this rescheduled and make it happen.
Yeah, you know, we're used to that CSM life. Everybody's rescheduling, so I got you. Good.
Yeah, I can't remember how you came on my radar. I feel like it was Scott Lace, maybe.
Yeah, I actually went back and looked, like, right before this podcast. You reach out because Scott posted about me on his LinkedIn.
Yeah. I've had Scott on the show. Love Scott. And yeah, sometimes it's always funny. You meet so many people, you're like, how did it start?
Yeah. Go back to the DMs. It's like, well, just go look up the LinkedIn DMs and see how this began. Yeah.
I've been saved by the LinkedIn DMs many times, like scrambling to get on your call and you're like, please tell me we met on LinkedIn.
That's a commonality in my world.
All right. So take us back a little bit. Where did your sales journey start? Or if you want to go back a little before that.
I'm sure I will. I started growing up in sales just from my dad. He's always been in sales. And it was one of those professions, like most people, where you're kind of adverse to it for a long time. So I spent a lot of my teenage years being like, no, it's never going to be me. I don't want to go into sales. I hate it. He's traveling all the time. So that was like my first inlet to sales. But my first sales role when I kind of gave in was in 2013. And from there I was hooked. So I was kind of living in Phoenix at the time, and it was when tech startups were really on the rise. So it was like this cool office in downtown Phoenix, an industrial warehouse they built into a tech company. And that's where I got my first sales job. So I started out in 2013. I haven't looked back since.
All right. So I'm curious about a lot of things. Number one, what were you selling?
Mm-hmm. So it was a PTOT, like physical therapy, occupational therapy, CMR, basically. So for the health industry. So it was a younger startup at the time. We were only a couple years old at that point. But yeah, we were scaling out for CMR, for medical companies.
Okay. Yeah. And going from having that really natural, you know, don't want to have anything to do with sales to getting hooked.
Yeah.
In your first role, what happened? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. Growing up, my dad was really good at what he did. So I was always curious, like, seems fun. He gets to go travel. He gets to talk to people all the time. He's meeting people across the world. He made good money. So it was intriguing, but it wasn't until that company at the time where I got to actually meet and be more involved in tech and see what tech looked like in a really young market. But I was like, this is everything that I want. So I actually started out in customer support because that's really how you could get your in at the company. It was really tough to get into. And then after I stayed there for about 10 months, then I got promoted into the sales role after going to a conference out in middle of nowhere, New York, with the director of sales at the time. So it was just meeting people and talking and just finding a connection to the product, which I think helped a lot. In that first role.
Interesting. So you took a support role to get into the company. Was it a little bit more difficult to get into a sales role without sales experience?
Oh yeah, 100%. Especially at that company at the time, it was a really hot market and it was one of the only big tech companies that was growing at the time and scaling. So a lot of people, it was just really competitive. So that's really the only way that I could find my in at the moment. I think I'd applied probably 4 times and gotten rejected for sales roles or for a marketing role. And then it's like, you know what, I'm going to go into support and just see if it works out. And it did. So.
Wow. That was my next question. I was wondering if getting the support role was a strategic move.
Oh, it was very strategic. I was like, these people will not read my resume and take me seriously because I just got out of college. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'm going to start really small fish and just go into support, which not saying that's like an easy role by any means, but it was definitely the best in anyway, because I ended up getting like all the technical experience for the product. So it worked out, but it was tough.
Yeah. How long did you spend in the support role and what did you learn in that support role that, you know, helped you get into sales from there?
Yeah, I was in support for a little under 11 months at the time. So I stayed in for 11 months. It was honestly all product knowledge was amazing for me. Like just being able to get in and really understand all the services we offer in a really like deep format. So being able to go in every day and help solve customer issues, being able to speak to customers and take escalations down and just kind of like problem solve on the spot was really big in that role and really, I think, helped me catapult into sales too, which looking back on it now, I wasn't thinking that then, but it definitely did help the pivot.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of sales stories. This is the first time I've heard somebody that got into support and then went to sales from there. So I was super intrigued, but I'd imagine, like you said, you know, learning, like dealing with customers, seeing what you guys were great at as a company, maybe even seeing what you're not so great at as a company. Yeah. Like those are some, you must have built up just a great knowledge hub, to be a pretty effective seller after that.
Yeah. Well, I think too, that field was unique for me at the time. It's medical. So you're dealing with HIPAA, you're dealing with Medicare, Medicaid, you're dealing with ICD-10 codes and like mapping for therapists into, clients. So it was a lot of technical learning and a lot of medical terminology learning for me at the time, which I think getting into that sales role, it just gave me a leg up because I had a chance to already know all of that coming into that department. So it was the best decision for me at the time and it's how I got into sales. So,
All right. So, and then how much time did you spend there at that company? And then walk us through kind of how your sales journey advanced from there.
Yeah, I was there for about 3.5 years. So I stayed in that sales role for a long time. And then we just started pivoting outside of, we were growing a lot. And at that point I was dating somebody kind of in the middle of wanting to move outside of Phoenix. So I ended up taking a role at Outreach, was my next kind of pivot into a new part of the sales cycle. And I went into an SDR role at Outreach. So I got to move to Seattle and just try something totally new, but it was just in need of wanting to branch out.
Wow. Moving to a new place and then starting at a new company all at once. Was that a bit overwhelming or?
It was overwhelming. Yeah. It was, Seattle's always been on my list of places I wanted to move. So it was like this far reaching goal. And then when I was looking at tech companies, like my thing was just reaching out to like top 50 tech companies that year and putting resumes and trying to get connected with people on LinkedIn. So once I connected with the Outreach hiring manager, I was like, if they give me an offer, I'm going to have to go there and find a place pretty quickly. So that was stressful. It was like, get an offer. They're like, we need you here in 2 weeks. And you're like, oh shit, what am I going to do now? Yeah.
Two weeks.
I think it was 3 weeks. They gave me 3 weeks. And I was like, okay, got to do it. So that was the next
move. Tell me, all right. So you, after that first role, getting some sales experience, right? Yeah. At that point, did you feel like, okay, sales is for me. This is it.
Yeah, I think I still felt leaving my first sales job was difficult because I really liked that role and it was really tailored to me and it was so unique. I don't think I'll ever find anything like it again. Going into the SDR role was totally different for me. I had no clue what it was, what it entailed. SDR roles were really new at that point. That was like early 2016 or so. I felt sold on sales, but I just didn't know about the role. But I went into it trying to be like, I'll just figure it out and see how it goes anyway.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you approached, because I'm sure there's some people that are curious about how you approach getting that job, right? So setting a goal of like, I want to work for a top 50 tech company. Mm-hmm. How did you approach the job search of landing, you know, I guess a dream job, and then kind of in a place that you also wanted to live?
Yeah. It's kind of the same process for all of the jobs that I feel that I've gotten in the last 10 years is try to look up the list, like top 50 tech companies in your area or an area you want to move, and just really target them with strategic messaging. So with outreach, I don't remember it as well. I know I pulled the list of top 50 and I was like, outreach fits kind of all the molds of what I'm looking for. Yeah. And I remember reaching out to people on LinkedIn and just trying to get an understanding of like what their role entailed, what they thought about the company, and just kind of make connections. And I feel like somebody, if I remember correctly, that I had connected with on LinkedIn actually put my resume in to the hiring manager. And that's how I ended up meeting with them and having that.
You mean you didn't just like submit it on the job board and leave it up to them to reach out to you?
I was like, no follow up, no nada. No, that's quite the opposite. I'm like hone in on something and I go for it. So, and then I flew out to Seattle for the interview and then I kind of landed from there.
Nice. So work your network, build some relationships with inside the organization.
I would say if anybody's looking for like really unique, creative things to do, that's kind of like I feel like an easy one for everybody to do. But I know in 2020, I was interviewing for this company called Artsy at the time, and their CEO does Good Morning America sessions mm-hmm. like every couple of months, every few months. And he actually did an episode on how to interview and what interview questions they ask in their interviews. So I pulled those and I answered them and sent him a LinkedIn video answering like three of the top questions he had posted about or talked about. And he wrote me right back and he's like, send me a resume, submit it. And we got all the way to the end of like getting the offer letter and then didn't come through. But I got that far.
Wow. When you found that video, it must have been like, oh, I can do something with this.
Cool. Yeah, cool. We have to capitalize on that.
Yeah. Okay. So fast forward a little bit to kind of, you know, what you're doing today. What was that transition like? And, you know, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think what I talk about a lot now is I felt like in sales, one thing that was kind of stifling me was the career pathing didn't feel synonymous with what I was looking for. So, you know, you see people going into SDR roles and then going to AE roles and then their senior AE. It's very linear to me. I never felt connected to that. So the CSM role has been on my radar for years. It just wasn't until Dooley came along that I was like, this is the company it's going to be for. So it took me a while to figure out what that career path could look like. And it was really hard to get there. But it ended up happening in 2021. So I got lucky.
And what is it specifically that attracted you to that role?
Yeah. And after being in like high paced tech, fast tech for the last 7-8 years in sales roles and in SDR roles specifically, there was just a nature to it that I was over. Like I genuinely was just tapped out. I was burnt mm-hmm. out. I wasn't the best cold caller. I'm not the best person that you meet on a call in 30 seconds. I can pitch you and you see the value and you're like, yeah, that was compelling enough. So I had a lot of blind spots and a lot of weaknesses as an SDR. I'm definitely a better closer. And then for CS, like wanting to make that transition into customer success really just came down to, I like the adrenaline of sales. I'm just kind of tired of holding this heavy quota every month, even though now I have churn and retention and all these other things on my back. It's different. I like the longer strategic play of like diving into accounts and getting to know customers and championing for them and everything. So it was the right move.
Yeah. So what would you say for other sellers, like if they're feeling those same type of feelings of like, oh, I'm just over like the activity quotas and like the stress and like the emotional up and down, like this is, I don't even know if I should be in sales. Like what would you suggest they do to maybe, you know, prepare for like a CSM role or start putting themselves out there for a CSM role?
Yeah. The best thing that I did honestly was being able to try out different roles. Like I got very lucky and I really put my neck out on the line with every company that I was at to be like, okay, I want to try account executive role. So I would go work and get an AE job somewhere that I felt compelled towards or going for an SDR role. Trying out different parts of the sales cycle helped a lot in figuring out where I really wanted to be. Even though I didn't have any CSM experience, I knew at the end of the day, after 8 or 9 years of being in sales, that that was going to be like a great role for me. So I would say if you can, anywhere you were at, like try to career path into different roles, AE if you're an SDR. Don't be afraid to go backwards. If you're an account executive and you want to try your hand at SDR work, like that's great too. But ultimately, like taking on side projects for me was a really key factor in knowing kind of that I wanted to step into something different outside of sales. I need a little bit more partnership, a little bit more management. I need a little bit more of the CS involvement, relationship building side of it. So took a long time, but you'll get there.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you've dealt with, like transitioning?
Challenges, so many. I would say like the vernacular of CS life is different. You have to learn a lot about advocacy and how you can really like champion and play into your customers. Like, again, you're selling them constantly on the value, but you don't want to be a seller. So there's a fine line and a fine balance to walk there, which was hard for me at first, is understanding like difference between demo and training and supporting and selling. So a little bit of time, but ultimately I got pretty lucky because I just got thrown into the fish at Dooley and I was like, thrown into the water, we're good, we'll figure it out. So
what is it you love most about being a CSM now?
So many things. It's hard. It's really challenging, but I love my team. Like, my manager makes it amazing and she's taught me so much. But I would say genuinely being able to reach out to accounts and look at usage and just like dive and get analytical with them. There's honestly nothing better than taking a look. Like, we just got like really big data overview for all accounts. So now I can kind of do deep dives and be like, there's drop here. These people need a little bit more turnkey. We need to figure out where training needs to be involved. So going into every account with a different perspective and being able to really troubleshoot for them and come to the table with solutions is like one of my favorite things.
Yeah. So just being able to like be proactive and make decisions based on data and seeing who needs help where. Sounds like you really enjoy that part of the job.
Yeah, it's autonomous. It's something that you can really take ownership of. One thing that I always say to people when they ask about like the pivot from SDR to CSM or out of selling into CS, like it is a role where you are given autonomy, truthfully, and ownership. And at the end of the day, if your accounts fail, like you fail. It's the same with quota for sellers. Like, you don't hit your quota, you got to look at your process. So for CS, same thing. If your accounts aren't succeeding, something you got to go back and keep tweaking your process and figure out how you can make it better.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your writing agency and the work you do there and when that started and all the good stuff.
Yeah. Good question. I love talking about this. So I started that in 2020 during COVID. So it really was just bred out of like being super exhausted of being in quarantine by myself in Phoenix for that amount of time. And I was wanting to start honing in on like what my passions are and what things I could optimize for the future. So two of those things for me are art and writing. So I started an art business called Curatorium. It's on my LinkedIn, but I don't do much with it. It's just kind of something that if it trickles in, it's great. But I was trying to build it out and it just wasn't sticking. At the end of the day. So I pivoted and I turned that business into Heretic, the agency, which is my writing business. And I just had somebody come out to me in 2020 that said they needed help with brand and writing for their website. So I took it on as a project and I got hooked on it and was like, this could be something great within B2B SaaS. So I just ran with it, incorporated, and started gaining clients from there.
Was it a little scary taking on the first client?
Yeah, I was like, I don't do this professionally. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing, right? They're like, yeah, no, your guy trusts you. And I was like, okay, we'll just run with it. So it was scary, yes, because you have to do all of it on your own. Like, truly solopreneurship is counting, you know, retention, making sure they're happy and you're delivering. It was terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, because I think, you know, people that are maybe thinking about, you know, starting something on the side or whatever, turning a passion into, you know, another revenue stream, it can be a little scary, like taking on that first client where you're like, I don't even know if I can do this.
Yeah, no, 100%. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But It took a while. I'll say, like, it's been almost a little over a year and I'm still figuring it out, but I have great clients that have reached out so far. So it's just a learning curve, but I always caution, like, everybody should try it at some point. If you're questioning it, like, just dive in and I promise it'll work out. It always works out.
Get into action. You don't have to have everything figured out.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as a perfect plan.
None at all.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. How can people easily get into your world?
Yes. So you can just hit me up on LinkedIn. So Kelsey Calabro on LinkedIn. I'm also on Twitter, Antisocial Kels. I know the name is a little confusing. but yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn on Twitter. You'll find my Heretic the Agency website is on my LinkedIn as well. So if anybody ever has questions about ghostwriting or book editing or content for their company, you can at me there.
Awesome. We will drop all the links in there for in the show notes for everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode, please write us a review, share the show with your friends, and then we're always listening for your feedback. You can go over to salestransformation.fm and drop me a voice DM and I will get back to you. Hey, you stuck around. That tells me you're serious about your own sales transformation. If you're tired of doing things the old way and want to get started in your journey with other people on the same path, head over to salescast.community and crush your numbers on your leaderboard. Yeah, it's free. Salescast.community. Send me a DM with your best pitch and mention this ad, and I might even give you free access to our best templates.